Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day on this broadcast. Let me remind you that the broadcast is designed, has a format designed around you, our listener. We invite you to call in with your dialogue and discussion, your questions, that we might respond to them. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion today. We'll be talking about perilous times are here. The Bible speaks of that in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. This one also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then it continues in verse 2 and following, outlining what we will find in those perilous times. And may I say to you, what the Scripture says in the last days, we're there. We're watching the perilous times unfurl before our eyes. For example, we're witnessing terror across America today with the Department of Justice, the Attorney General Merrick Garland, sitting in silence. The Marxist mobs are bombing, burning, and burglarizing pro-life pregnancy centers across America, and nothing is being said. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. It appears that there is no criminal investigation, no arrest, and evidently no concern for the safety of our communities and the protection of those that are in operation of those centers. And ladies and gentlemen, when we see this happening, when we see the unfurling, unfolding, and the disintegration of law in our nation, we're living today almost on the verge of a lawless society. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what needs to be done to change it and what is happening with the Biden administration's doctrine of Build Back Better. We'll have a special guest today that we'll be interviewing, talking about these subjects and some of the things that needs to be done on the state and national level. But ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the issues, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, says, if you continue in my word, the word of God, the scripture, then you're my disciples indeed. Word indeed means surely, truly, absolutely. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The only way to know truth is to stay in the word of God. Jesus then says in John 14, 6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17, 17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the light unto our feet and a lamp unto our pathway each and every day. It ought to be the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that directs our lives. But truth is not sought anymore. Truth is not embraced, it appears, anymore, especially in the political circles in D.C. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that we're in that era today, perhaps as no other time in the history of our great nation. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is based on the death of truth. And we find that to be so relevant today in the era in which we're living, where there seems to be no truth. There's all just a comedy of chaos, confusion, and calamity. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's what I challenge us to do each and every day on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located right in the heart of Mandarin, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag hoisted on a flagpole about 165 feet in the air, with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing you to worship with your family as God intended it. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, and see what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that as Christians we become more engaged. I believe as Christians we need to become engaged in the process. There are a lot of Christians, especially in pastoral ministry, a lot of pastors that will say you ought not to get involved in politics, that Christians ought to be silent, just tell everybody about Jesus. I'm not minusculizing that. I'm not ridiculing that. I'm not in any way making light of that. Yes, we need to tell people about Jesus. Yes, we need to continue to preach the gospel. Yes, we need to be involved in the process, because Jesus says that we are to be salt and light. Salt preserves a decaying society. Light illumines a darkened world. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we as believers stop being silent and become involved. We're in an election cycle this year and next year. We're in the elections on a statewide basis in the primaries leading up to the general election in November. And then in 2024, just think, believe it or not, the real election cycle starts in 2023, getting ready for the 2024 presidential election and the national elections. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're in an election cycle. And as Christians, we need to vet the candidates. And by the way, your leisure, you study Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. It gives you God's election guide as to what candidates, how we need to view the candidates, how we need to vet the candidates, and what we need to do in relationship to the participation and seeing that the qualified candidates that love the Lord, that are interested in the preservation of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the preservation of our Bill of Rights as citizens. We need to study that policy guide, political guide, election guide, however you want to couch it, in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. But ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned just a moment ago in a partial pre-introduction to my monologue today, I don't know if you've been paying any attention to the news. It's been low profile on the news, where across the nation, the pro-life centers are being bombed, being firebombed, they're being burglarized and totally decimated. And it seems as though Merrick Garland, the Department of Justice, has no interest in the prosecutorial process, have no interest in trying to find the thugs that are carrying that out. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is a small part. We're looking at that as only a small part of the national ploy by the Biden administration. May I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, we have no justice system, or if you call it a justice system, it's a dual justice system, where we're finding today where the Biden administration and the scabs out of the Obama administration are persecuting and prosecuting all of those that had anything to do with Donald Trump and his election, all that had anything to do with even being on the Capitol grounds on January the 6th. They're being scooped up, put in jails. We have over 400, approximately 400, I should say, of political prisoners, and we're finding the Biden administration operates on a political prisoner basis, and we're finding it today where through the Biden administration, if you have anything to do with being a conservative, a Christian, a patriot, if you're a white Christian patriot, if you're one that voted for President Trump, or if you question the integrity of the 2020 election, or if you question the viability of the COVID jabs, then you're viewed as a domestic terrorist, according to the Biden administration's Department of Justice 32-page document sent to the FBI to be on the lookout and start the prosecutorial persecution of those in that realm. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's causing this major problem is the streets and the neighborhoods are controlled by violent thugs, while George Soros places them in office. State attorneys continue to release criminals onto our streets, and this is the reason we're seeing chaos and calamity and confusion on every hand. And ladies and gentlemen, there was one that was just recalled in California, one of the state attorneys, and I'm looking at an article that says Soros, that's George Soros, to fight prosecutors' recall and elect more liberal DAs. In fact, in the state of Maine, just this week, the primary was won for a DA's position by some 60% of the vote. And the funds, about $500,000, were put into the coffers of a Soros candidate that won the primary. We're finding that across the nation, and it's part of the Biden rule, or the Biden doctrine, if you will, to destroy anything that is called ethics and values and constitutional law in America. This article says, with voters in San Francisco having recalled controversial prosecutor Bodine this week, critics are turning to another anti-bail, anti-jail DAs funded by liberal billionaire George Soros and his group for the ousters. It's this article further says, it said that Soros overall has spent $40 million to install 70 liberal social justice district attorneys, many whom are political neophytes with zero prosecutorial experience in that field. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the demise of our foundations. And Psalm chapter 11, verse 3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about this and a number of other issues today that I believe are very pertinent to society and what we're doing and how we're living and how we need to view them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight to have today as our special guest, Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 Florida representative, to discuss many of these issues with us today. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me on your show. It is always an honor and pleasure to join you to discuss these important issues.
Congressman Hill, before we get into the nuts and bolts of some of the things that I think is viable and necessary for us to talk about today, I believe you have a special announcement that needs to be made for our listeners to hear.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I have filed just this week to run for Florida State House District 1, and I have qualified to run for that seat, and the campaign is on. The reason why I decided to do it, Dr. Youngblood, is that's the same seat that I held previously when I was in the House. And so I'm running to take that seat back for a number of reasons. One, because we know that with the upcoming decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, that it is very likely that Roe v. Wade could be overturned, and that it is then going to be up to the states to determine the abortion issue in your state. And so we need to have Florida on board right away with legislation that is going to protect the preborn. When I was previously in office, I sponsored the heartbeat bill to stop babies from being aborted once a heartbeat has been detected. This time, Dr. Youngblood, I think I need to go further and instead sponsor a bill that will abolish abortion completely, even before a heartbeat has been detected. Abortion must be stopped. Over 50% of abortions being performed in Florida right now are chemical abortions. The ladies take these pills that cause a miscarriage and kills the baby that way. So it is my duty to step up and to protect these preborn children. So that's just one of the issues that are before us that I have to tackle. And I know that my opponent in the race will not do that, has not in the past done anything to protect life of the preborn, and therefore likely won't do it again.
Well, Congressman, you made mention of your decision to get back in the race, and you gave the rationale, which is on target, spot on with what you're saying is the rationale behind your decision. But may I say to you and our listening audience, part of that decision is made because I've been praying that God will put you back in office, brother. So I am thankful. It is music to my ears. I'm thankful to hear you say that. Looking forward to what we, the listeners, can do to hold your arms up and to place you back in that very, very, very important seat in the Florida House. Take a moment and just from the start, share with our listeners what they can do. And listen, I want to say this to our listeners. It's not a matter of just representing District 1, ladies and gentlemen. Any of our legislators, when they go into office, they might run in a particular district and be elected by those in that district. But once they're seated, they represent all Floridians. And so it's not a matter of saying, well, he's in District 1, that doesn't affect me, I'm in District whatever. It's a matter that we need to put honest people, conservative Christian people in office that will represent us in the state of Florida as well as across the nation. Congressman, take a moment and just openly share with our listeners how they can jump on board, how they can lock arms with you, how they can assist you, not just in prayer, that's wonderful and needed, but to pray for you, pray for your success of your election process, and at the same time assist you, as I say, by putting feet on the prayers. What can we do as listeners today?
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for that. And I would say the very first thing is pray. God is faithful, and he answers prayers. And he answered your prayer, Dr. Youngblood, that I would get back in the race.
Absolutely.
even though, as you know, you and I had discussed it many times, that it wasn't where I wanted necessarily to run again unless I had gotten that that assignment from God. And you and I shared that many times, and I have with many others. I was asked almost daily, Mike, will you run for office? And I said, if I get that assignment from God, then I will. But if I don't, then I won't. So I just want to share briefly how I received that assignment. I was in a conference in McLean, Virginia, and in a room with about 400 to 500 other attendees at this conference. And there was a panelist on the stage and a panel on the stage. One of the panelists said, if God has given you the tools and the abilities, and there is a task that has been placed before you, it is your duty to accept it. And right then, it was like that person was speaking directly to me. I said, that's it. Amen. I said, yes, Lord, I will accept that assignment. And immediately it came to my mind of how we have to protect the preborn in Florida. That is just one of the major tasks that are before us right now. So, and I'll tell you, Dr. Youngblood, that happened on May 23rd, so just a couple of weeks ago. And once I accepted, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. A peace came over me that I haven't felt in about 10 months.
Amen.
And I knew then that I was in God's will and accepting the assignment that he has placed before me. And as you know, Dr. Youngblood, I can't do it alone. I cannot get elected, get to office simply by me standing on a corner, holding up a sign, or even knocking on doors by myself. I do need help, and financial help I would need in terms of helping me to get my message out. So if people do want to help, they can send a check of any amount would be appreciated. The maximum is $1,000 in Florida that you can contribute to a candidate's campaign. And just simply send it to, make the check out to Mike Hill Campaign and mail it to P.O. Box 4400-4400, Pensacola, Florida, 32507. Again, that's Mike Hill Campaign, P.O. Box 4400, Pensacola, Florida, 32507.
I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you will do that, be responsive to the call, and to be responsive to what I believe God would have us to do as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots in America. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if we continue the track that we're on now with the Biden doctrine as what he is doing in not upholding the Constitution, not upholding the laws, and every department seemingly going crazy with the looseness of that which is called morals and ethics and values and standards. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, what would take place if this continues? There'd be no America, no churches, no Christian, no conservatives. And this is exactly what the socialist Marxist communist program is about. That's what a socialist Marxist communist nation looks like. And I believe that we're on the fast track for that. Congressman, I'm looking at an article. It is by David Horowitz. And David Horowitz says this, and it's, the article says, "The War to Destroy Christian America. A Jew and famed author is warning Christians are in danger. He says they are targeted by secularist leftists. They want to destroy Christianity in America. Persecution against Christians is already happening. It can get far worse than it is today." Horowitz exposes this in his book about truth. Christianity, once the backbone of America's civilized Judeo-Christian society, is under cruel and relentless attack. David Horowitz warns that the left-wing activists working in tandem with Democrats and radicals are attempting to tear down our religious freedoms and liberties in America, end quote. One of the things, Congressman, that I see as part and parcel of that is today we have somewhere between 6 and 8 different fragmented bills in Washington, that's gun control bills, that want to somehow, some way, either confiscate or relegate to non-existence the use of a firearm. I'm looking at an article that says Congressman pushes a 1,000% tax on certain guns. Virginia Democratic Representative Don Beyer introduced a bill Tuesday that would levy a 1,000% tax on select semi-automatic rifles and certain ammunition magazines in response to recent mass shootings. The proposed legislation is intended to limit the number of weapons present in American communities, including the AR-15s and all high-capacity magazines. Beyer said, when he announced his proposal earlier this month, the bill also applies to large capacity ammunition feeding devices. The legislation would impose a 1,000% excise tax on all manufacturing, all import, all products, all producers of items defined as assault weapons, using the term similar to those in Congressman Cicilline's assault weapon ban. The bill does contain exemptions for purchases by governmental entities such as federal, state, and local enforcement, along with the U.S. military. Congressman, there's some that have talked about the need for constitutional carry in the state of Florida. Explain what constitutional carry is and whether or not that's needed in Florida, and do you believe that it would reduce crime, especially the mass shootings, if we have constitutional carry?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Constitutional carry says that you can purchase a weapon and ammunition without having to have a license from the government. Right now, for example, if you want to conceal carry, you have to pay for a license to do that. Or when you do purchase a weapon and it's registered, you have to pay the government for that. What constitutional carry says is that because of the Constitution, and in particular, the Second Amendment, that is our right to carry, and that we don't need permission from the government to purchase a weapon and to carry a weapon, excuse me, to protect yourself, your family, and your property, or even if you just want to go hunting, that you don't need government's permission to do that. Now, that is law in many states right now, Dr. Youngblood, where you don't have to get permission from the government in order to purchase a firearm at all. And what we find is that Those on the left who push back against that say that that means that it will be too easy, too accessible for anyone to get a gun, and we could expect then to see more crimes committed and more mass shootings. But the data does not bear that out. In those states which already have constitutional carry, they do not have more crime than states that have where you have to get government permission to purchase a weapon. So that's a fallacy on itself. And in fact, we know just the opposite is true, that the more that the citizenry is armed in a certain area, the less crime there is, because criminals always go after soft targets. They don't go after those who they know will be able to protect themselves. So if we had constitutional carry, more people would be able to purchase firearms to protect themselves. And I believe that means that crime is going to go down, as that is demonstrated by the data in other states.
Absolutely. And Congressman, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Ike Hill. He is the former District 1 representative for the State House, and he has just announced his running for the primary for this term to go back into the State House, the same district. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm looking forward to it, because we need men like Congressman Hill to go back into office to represent us, that we will be protected, because we're not finding that protection in general in the state of Florida and across the nation. However, I must say, Congressman, we're finding a better lifestyle and more, how would you say, liberties in the state of Florida than most other states. I call it a free state, as many have. And talking about the weapons, the firearms, and the need for the constitutional carry, I'm looking at an article that says Senator McConnell praises the Senate gun control agreement. The top Republican in the Senate on June the 12th praised the bipartisan agreement reached on gun control. The compromises announced hours earlier, including giving funding to the states that impose so-called red flag laws, show the value of dialogue and cooperation. And he goes on to talk about Mitch McConnell being working with the left to control the guns. And they're saying now in the bill that they're pushing almost over the line, crossing the line to approve in the House, that they will not impose the red flag laws on all of the states, but will in fact offer high incentive pay from the federal government if the states institute the red flag laws. Now, that mitigates against the constitutional carry. That mitigates against anything that's called the Bill of Rights. And I know in the state of Florida we have a red flag law. Explain the dangers of a red flag law and the dangers of what we're seeing from the Republicans working with the Democrats on the gun control in Washington.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, in Florida, red flag laws were instituted back in 2017, shortly after the Parkland shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas school, where that demented demoniac went in there and killed all those innocent children. Quite a tragedy. And then the left used that as a rallying cry to just do something, went to Tallahassee, and we had a Republican House, Republican Senate, and at that time, Republican Governor Rick Scott, who signed the bill, which brought us the red flag laws in Florida. What the red flag law says is based on merely an accusation, and someone thinks that you are a danger to yourself or to society or to someone else, that they can then go to the police. The police can then go to a judge who has not evaluated the person at all. And if that judge issues a warrant, they will come to your house and confiscate your weapons and your ammunition.
Congressman Hill, hold your thoughts for just a moment, and I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, if you would continue to hold, we'll be right back right after the top of the hour news. Just 1 minute. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.